Welcome to another life-changing message preached live at Hope City Church. We hope you'll be encouraged and inspired by God's word to live your best life yet. So get ready to hear from God as you enjoy the message.
Great, give somebody a high five. Give two people a high five. Three people a high five. Take your seats. Awesome. Great. Wow, how awesome was it to hear from Dom and Rhiannon there? That was incredible. Why don't you give God a round of applause for doing something incredible in people's lives? That's what it is all about. Great. How are you feeling? Great. Good. I'm feeling good. I'm enjoying my life. Great. Give me a wave if you're alive. Good. And if you're dead, you can give me a wave as well. And that'd be awesome. So, great. Let's crack into it. Okay. Get your Bible. If you got a Bible, if you ain't got a Bible, the words are going to come up on the screen. This message is called Take Me to Church. And I love that in, yeah, there is a song about that. But this is a different kind of church. No, that's fine. I don't want to go to his church. Don't want to go to Hosea's church. It sounds dodgy. So, but I love that part of Dom's testimony there was saying to Rhiannon, take me to church again. And that's the kind of church I want to be part of, where people say, will you take me to church? You know, they come and they visit and then they say to you again, I'm going again. Will you take me again to your church? Or where they know you and they know your life and they know you're part of church and they see your life and they see what you're part of and they say, well, will you please take me to church with you this week? That's the kind of church I want to be part of, and that's the kind of Christianity that I want to live, right? And here's some of the Bible. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 to 3. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. It says, it shall come to pass. Say, it shall come to pass. Shall come to pass. So this is God's promise. He's determined. It shall come to pass in the latter days. And there's no days more latter than these ones, so we'll say now. In the latter days, that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established. Say, it shall be established. Great. So the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, above everything else. Sometimes we call church the house of God. That the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be lifted up above the hills and all the nations. How many of the nations? All of them. All the nations shall flow to it. And many people shall come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. I absolutely love that thought that God has decided that his house shall be established to such an extent that people would say, many people would say, come on, will you take me to church? Will you take me to church? We spend so much time thinking, I've got to do the inviting, oh, I've got to work all these relationships out and invite people one day, one of my friends. I want to live in such a way that people around my life are going, will you take me with you? You know, that there's something going on amongst us and in this house that the city's like, will you take me? Will you take me with you? Will you take me to church? He says this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 10, right? I'll read these verses and I will get into it. It says in verse 4, as you people here come to him, Jesus, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, say me myself. You yourself, turn the person next to you and say, you yourself. It's good. You yourselves like living stones. So Jesus is a living stone. You also are like a living stone being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We'll come back to that. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone. This is talking about Jesus. Chosen and precious. And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. I absolutely love that. Whoever believes in Jesus shall not be put to shame. He's not going to shame you. He's not going to expose you. He's going to put you to shame. He wants to build something. Build something with your life and build something out of your life. And so the honor, verse 7, is for you who believe, but for those who don't believe. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. How many of you know people around our lives aren't always super excited to know that you know God? They're not always, the world around us isn't always like, oh, just tell me what God's doing. Just tell me what Jesus is doing. You know, oh, we really respect what God's up to. We really want to build. Oh, no, they don't do that. Don't do that. But unbeknownst to the world, God's building something with Jesus Christ as the cornerstone. And it's like, oh, hang on a minute. It's become the cornerstone. Jesus has become the cornerstone of everything, everything good. And I'll go to verse 9. But you are, say I am, say we are. A chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. It's not a bad thing to belong to God because he's about good things in your life. That you may proclaim, that you may proclaim. Why am I here, God? Why are we here? That we may proclaim the excellencies. Just say excellencies. Excellencies. It's a good word to linger on. And to proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you, God, that you are wanting to build something in our lives and are such that it's not just about our lives, but what you build with us together, Lord God. And today, as we just linger a few moments in your word, we pray that you would really go to town. Really go to town in our lives, God. Really go to town in our church, Lord God. And really go to town in our city, Lord God. Father, as a result of what we hear and apply in our lives today, in Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Good. I was listening to a podcast by Pastor Phil Pringle. How many of you heard of Phil Pringle? He's actually the boss of our boss. Our boss is Dave Gilpin, the founder of Hope City Church. But his boss is Phil Pringle, the founder of C3 Church, of which Hope City Church is a part. 300 churches across the world and growing. And Pastor Phil Pringle, I was listening to his podcast, and he said, I've got this crazy idea. I've had this crazy notion that God wants everybody to go to church on a Sunday. Hey, everybody. I got this crazy thought that actually maybe God wants everybody to go to church on a Sunday. And by that, he doesn't mean just go to a cold building somewhere and sing some songs and go home. But that everybody would be part of something that's living and active, an active expression of his church. That God wants everyone to go to church. Have you ever thought about that, that around your world, God wants everyone that you know in church on Sunday, because that's the center of what God is building. I thought about this and thought, well, let's think about this a little bit. And I've come to the realization that if I ask myself the question, what is God doing in the earth? I come to the conclusion, well, he's building his church. What else is he doing? No, there's nothing else. He's just building his church. What's God up to? What's he doing? He's building his church. What's he doing in the life of that person in your world that doesn't yet know Jesus, but you're praying that they'll know Jesus? What's he doing? Well, he's getting ready to draw them into church. That's all he's doing in people's lives that aren't in church. He's trying to draw them into church, not the organization, but to Christ. And if you draw people to Christ, you've got to draw people to church because it's his body. It's his expression. It's his house. He says, what's God going to do? He wants to build his house to such an extent that it's known and it's significant. It's the center of things. It's all he's planning to do. Oh, I think that's incredible. You can't fully draw people to Jesus without drawing them to church. That's why we do a dream offering. That's why we're doing what we're doing, because we're thinking God wants to build his church. He doesn't want to just bless Billy on the street down the road. He doesn't want to just give them a blessing. If he's going to bless them, it's in order to show them how great he is, that they might become part of his church. There it is. Maybe you know Billy, and maybe you can bless Billy, but when you're praying for Billy, think, I want him to come into the house of God. I met with God in where? In where? in Costa? What? God, heckled by my wife. This isn't good. This is a bad day in my life. I met with God in a hospital room. That's where I first met with God. In a hospital room. Yes, thank you. On my own, in a hospital room. You know my story, some of you don't. Met with God in a hospital room where I was apparently on my way to dying. But I met with God in a hospital room on my own. But let me tell you this. I met with his purpose and his potential for my life amongst his people. You know, he wasn't like, hey, Dave, you're blessed, you're going to know me, and I'm going to walk this little life with Jesus, having a nice time. The side is like, I'm not going to discover, and I didn't discover the purposes of God until someone took me to church, right? And I discovered his purpose, began to discover what he wanted to do by being part of his community. I love what Dom was saying about, oh, gosh, well, what would happen now if you took away the church? And he's like, well, if you take away the church, you're kind of taking away Jesus, because he expresses himself through his church. He outworks his life through community. It's like, I'm creating community. I'm not creating Christians doing Christian life. I'm creating community. That's what God wants to do. I want us to fill seats with living stones, building a growing move of God. We're praying for people. Come on. We're sowing 300 quid into a seat here, and some of us are sowing more. And it's because we're believing that these seats would, well, we need more seats, and we'd need a building to house seats that sit people that build the house of God, that are living stones in the purposes of God. It's why we're doing what we're doing, with Jesus as the cornerstone. Our lives together built around him, so that we proclaim the excellencies of our God, not the mundanities of God, not the limitations of God, not the averageness of God, not the reluctancies of God. Our church is not going to be about those things. It's going to be about the excellencies of God, to proclaim the excellencies of God. Amen? Amen? Because we're here to make a proclamation. Church, you might not have realized it, but we're here to make a proclamation. We're here to be louder than our culture, in a language our culture understands. We're here to have our lives speak loudly of the grace of God, to be a people with a God-given, spirit-driven dream of what is to come, where how excellent God is and his ways are, make our city sit up, take notice, and say, take me to church. That's a dream of my heart. I don't know if you're going to join me in that. I don't know if you want to be part of that. There are 2.4 million people in the metropolitan borough of Liverpool. 2.4 million in the metropolitan borough of Liverpool. I figured out that if we saw 1,000 people saved every week, it would still take us 43 years to reach that. God wants everyone in church. It's time for us to raise up our vision of what God wants to do. He does not want there to be a trickle and a drip, drip, drip of people. He's believing for a flow. You know, that the nations and many peoples would flow into the house. It's great to see a drip, drip, drip. It's great to see that, because sometimes if you got a leak in your house, it starts with a drip, 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 but that's just the sign there's a leak. And eventually, if you don't do anything about it, it becomes a flood, right? And Dave Gilpin started this year by saying, we want to see a tsunami of souls. So great, a drip, drip, drip is good, but let that not be all it is. Let us raise our vision for a breakthrough where there is an utter flow and tsunami of souls into the house of God. 1,000 people a week takes 43 years. So what does God want to do in our day, in our time? He wants to do so much more than we're seeing right now, so much more than we've been believing for, so much more than we've been praying for. Time to raise our eyes to another level of church. And if we want to say, if we want people to say around our lives, take me to church, then we can't just come to church. We've got to become the church. And for some of us, that's a mind shift, a mindset change. Gosh, this is a place of his excellence. He's an excellent God doing an excellent work in us in order to build an excellent house with us, to cause our world to turn around and say, take me to church. Isn't that your dream? The people around your life, take me to church. Let's talk about the kind of church that I think people might say, gosh, take me to that church. Where I'd say, take me to that church, right? Just out of these verses, right? The excellencies of God. Take me to church where we're excellent in living, where we excel in living. Take me to church where we're excellent at life. Take me to that church. 1 Peter 2, verse 5 says, you yourselves are, you're like living stones. Have you ever met someone where it feels like the life, feels like the life's gone, you know? You feel like, oh, man, well, life's been drained from that life. It's like there's some people that they're the life and soul of the party, and there's some people, they're the black hole of death of the party. It's just, you know them. You know them. You know, life and soul, you're like, yeah, I'm feeling invigorated. I'm feeling invigorated. You know, the black hole of death of the party, you're just like, oh, I've been sapped. It's like life, gravitational pull of this black hole is kind of taking it away. But that's not church, right? Church is not the black hole of death. Church, Christians, you're not the black hole of death of your world. You're the ones who bring life. You're the life and soul. You might not be a party animal, right? You might not be Mr. or Mrs. Extravagant, but you've got some life to bring into your world if you know Jesus Christ. And I believe if you ain't got that life, God wants to fire up the life inside of you, that you wouldn't be cold to the touch. You know, stone is cold, but he wants us to be living stones, pulsating with the very life of God, the very life of God. John 10:10, Jesus says, this is John's account of Jesus' life, and Jesus has been talking about the good shepherd, and he's a good shepherd, and he's talking about a thief, which is the enemy or the devil or whatever, and he's saying this, Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And God's pretty black and white, right? So when Jesus is talking, he doesn't go, hey, there's Jesus. Hey, there's the enemy or the thief or the devil or whoever. And then there's just whatever. He's going, no, there's me or there's that, right? And it ain't some kind of equal boxing match, but he's saying, there's me or there's that. And we want everyone out of that and into what I've got for them. He says, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it abundantly. I've come that they may have life. Some of us focus on the may nots. We think God is full of may nots. You may not do this. You may not do that. You may not go there. You may not watch this. You may not listen to that. You may not go there. You may not hang out with them. You may not do this. You know, that's all we think sometimes. And that's what a lot of the world thinks God is. Come to church and you'll just tell me what I may not do. You may not. Welcome to church. But Jesus comes with a you may. I've come that you may have an abundant life. I've come that you may have life, not death, not being stolen from, not have your life taken from you. I've come that you may have life. You may. I've just found a bunch of you mays, right? You may have an abundant life. You may be free from addiction. You may be healed. You may be free from sin. You may be forgiven. You may, I'm going to keep going. You may have a dream and fulfill it. You may become the person you're born to be. You may know God personally and walk with him. You may be filled with his spirit and power. You may have everything you need for life and godliness. You may be secure in God and in your personal identity. You may be part of his mission to save the world. You may be free from fear. You may overcome every obstacle in your way. You may, you may, you may, you may, you may.
May I?
You may. You may. Thing is, the thief, the enemy, comes with a whole bunch of you mays that actually steal from us in the end. You may do whatever you want. You may do what feels right. And there's something in the world that says, because there's something we're saying, you know, you be who you are. And it's amen. But there's something in the world that forgets who we actually really are supposed to be. You may, Lady Gaga, baby, I was born this way. I'm like, one, well, you probably weren't, right? You probably weren't born that way. And if you were, Jesus says you need to be born again, right? So if you were born that way, it's time to be reborn as the person that you're really supposed to be, Lady Gaga. For your information, and your help. Well, it says do what you want, what feels right, which is even opening the doors to the things that we all think that's not right, but some of the you mays are leading us into a life that leads to some of the you may not do that, but because we've opened the doors on some of the you mays that are not the you mays of God and the you mays that steal, it kind of messes things up, and we wonder why is the world such a mess, because there's so many you mays that are not the you mays of God, that the you mays that rob from you ultimately lead you down the wrong road, and the thief cares nothing for the sheep. But Jesus laid down his life that you might enter his great big you may have an abundant life. I want to be part of a church that's living that. Stop living focused on stone cold restrictions and regulations. Step into his you may. Wow. Take me to church where this is better than the alternative. Take me to church where life with Christ is better than life without Christ. Take me to church where this is better than what I've been doing the last 6 days of the week. You know, take me to that church where life is truly, deeply better. I'll give you another one. Take me to church where we excel in building, where we excel in building. And 1 Peter 2, verse 5, you're being built together into a spiritual house that people flow into. You know, put these verses together. You're being built into a spiritual house that people flow into that becomes a chief among the mountains. You know, people search for a sense of purpose. Our lives, even if we're not conscious sometimes of searching for purpose, we're searching for purpose. We're searching for that which gives our life point and meaning. And I found this, if we're allowing our lives to be shaped by God, then he draws us into being built together into something. He doesn't leave us wandering around on our own. We're drawn into building something together. I believe that 100%. I believe that we need to be captivated by a vision of what God could do through us. I'm captivated by it. I hope you are, and I hope God's got hold of your heart. Captivated you with what we could build together. Not just what God could do with your life, but what God could build with us together. What our city could look like. You know, if God gets his hands on us in the way that he wants to, what he could do and what the city could look like as a result of what he does through his church. Man, you know, I want to believe that in the days ahead, what God does through his church in the city of Liverpool will be just as famous as what God has done through whatever he's done in Liverpool already. I love the Beatles, right? I love what this city is famous for. I love that there's some culture and history that if you go around the world, people know the name of Liverpool for the impact it's had upon the world. But how many of you know that there is something that God wants to do in the city of Liverpool that would be, oh gosh, just as famous, easily just as well known around the world? How many of you know that's what God wants to do? Because he says, I want to lift my house up to be chief among the mountains, bigger than the Beatles. You know? Gosh. Sorry, Philip. He says in verse 10, once you were not a people, now you're the people of God. Once you were wandering around, once you were trying to find your way, once you were not a people, you were just a person, you know? Again, like Don was saying, it's like, oh, if you take away everyone, oh gosh, what have I got left? I've been put amongst a family. I've been put amongst a people who love us and there's purpose. Once you were not a people, once you were disconnected, once you were looking for connection and purpose and belonging, maybe you still are. But now you're the people of God. Church, you're the people of God. You ain't doing this on your own anymore. Yeah, stop doing it on your own. Because maybe we're trying to do the Christian life on our own, effectively. Or we're trying to build our own thing in life or whatever. Well, stop being not a people. He says, once you were not a people. Well, stop being not a people. And start being a people. Start being the people of God. You know, some of us need to draw from the outskirts into the center. Some of us need to move from where we are and draw in closer. Some of us need to connect more or whatever it may be. Some of us need just to know that God loves you and there's a bunch of people here that will look out for you and will care for you and will reach out to you and will bless you and will help you through the stuff of life. Come on, we've got to say now we're going to be the people of God. Now we're being built together into a people that carry the presence and the activity of God. That's what he's doing amongst us. I've been part of a church, or one point in my life was part of a church, and we sat around and we thought about it, and we thought if we say to someone, will you come to church, and they come to church, that there's no way they're going to be saying, will you take me to church the next week? Because it's just not carrying what, we're not carrying what we want to carry. And we had to ask ourselves some questions. And I said, we've got to build something different. I've got to build something, and we've got to build this thing. Hope City Church, we've got to build this thing. We've got to build this thing. I'm talking about, we want to be a church that excels in building. You excel in building when you do these things. When your personal vision draws people into the corporate vision. Because life's full of self-help stuff. Life's full of, you know, you go and achieve your dreams. And gosh, church still, we use that language, if achieve your dreams. You know, God wants to fulfill dreams in your life. But you excel in building when your personal vision draws people into the corporate vision. When what you're about is not just building your thing or whatever, but it's about, I want to draw people into the house. If you're a business leader, you're not just building your business, so I'm blessed in my business, but you're thinking, I want to be an influence in the world around, that actually connects people to who God is and draws them into the house. You're thinking, I want to make money in order to sow into the house, to build the house, to build the buildings, to create the space, to buy the lights, to do the stuff. You know, not just to have a big house and a big car, and may you be blessed in all you do. May you fulfill your personal vision, but there's a big vision of the house of God, that God wants to establish his house in this city. So make your personal vision to draw people into the corporate vision. Make your vision not just I've going to have a ministry one day, but make your personal vision about I want to see people come into the house to know Jesus Christ. Don't make it about you. Don't make it about you. Make it about you in the sense of you becoming who God's called you to be, which is a person that draws people to Christ. Amen. You excel in building when you don't just attend it, you build it. When you don't just attend it. I was talking to Joe Gray. Didn't ask if I could mention it, but I'll mention it. Joe Gray, and she is and has been a site manager. I'm impressed, right? And she built part of L1 with her bare hands. Go on, Joe. Go on, girl. Go on, girl. Joe is Joanna as well. So she built it with her own hands, and or got people to build it. But she's like, she didn't just shop in L1, she built L1 so other people could shop in L1, right? That's what I want to be part of. I don't want to just attend church. I want to build the church so someone else can attend church. Come on. Let's do this thing. Let's build it, not just attend it. You excel in building when you find your place and step into it. When you find your place and step into it. You know, sometimes we're waiting for an invitation. Someone, no one's asked me to do this or be part of this or go. Well, here's an invitation. Please be part of something. Go. There we go. There's your invitation. And just find your place and step into it with a great attitude, because that determines your altitude, to use a well-worn kind of phrase. You know, when the students are away, right? Sometimes you become reliant on students. Students are doing awesome. Well done, the students. Big up the students and young adults like that build stuff. But the students ain't here all year. You know? And so we don't just take for granted what's happening. I think, I'm going to fill some spaces or whatever it may be. We're going to build this house in an excellent, excellent way. And we excel in building when it becomes a personal matter. When it becomes a personal matter, when this is my church. This is not just Hope City Church. At Hope City Church, at Hope City Church. Well, at Hope City, I find this. It's like, whoa, no, it's my church. This is my church. I take it very personally. I take it personally when people talk about my church. I don't think my church is perfect, right? Because I'm here, right? But I take it personally. It's my church. It's my house. It's what God's doing with you. What's God doing with me? Building this house. What's God doing with you? Building this house. What is it, God? What's your purpose in my life? God, build the house. Build this one. Build it. Take it personally. It's of the utmost importance to me that through what God does here, that the house called Hope City, right? And it's all about Jesus, but it's always attached to something through somebody. But I'd rather it was Hope City rather than my own name, right? But the name of Jesus attached to this house called Hope City, that that this would be, this place would be established in this city in such a way that everyone knows about it. And to get to that point, gosh, God's got to do some big stuff. We've got to build strong, build well, and carry this thing in our hearts. It becomes personal when large amounts of my personal income and my miracle received money are invested into the house. It becomes personal when people like Jono do 10 seats or someone like Alex and Andy do a family or say, I'm going to invest. It shows we're taking it personally. When we're stretching in faith and Lisa spoke at a women's day, a women's conference yesterday in Louth in Lincolnshire, and talking to her afterwards. One of the nice things is when we do external stuff, we're allowed to keep the gift that they give us. That's nice, right? And the financial gift. And so, but my question to Lisa wasn't how much have we got for the new carpet. My literal question that I said, it says, have they given you anything towards the dream offering? Because that's what we're doing. I'm not thinking, oh, there's some extra cash. We just moved house. We need a new whatever, you know. The wardrobes from IKEA are not awesome. But my thought was, here's an income stream that we weren't expecting. Well, I'll tell you where it's going, right? And because this thing is personally important to me, because God's got hold of our hearts. And I have no idea what time it is, but the keyboard better come up and we better end this service. Can I have a phone of some kind? It's 6 minutes past 12. Some of your tummies are rumbling. Some of you are thinking, hang on, Liverpool are going to be playing Manchester United in a few moments. And so hurry up, Dave. I'll get the message. Amen. Let's do the response. Boom. But you can play whenever you're ready, Phil. Just strike up a chord or three. We're good. And let's finish this off quick, smart, right? Take me to church where we excel in our offering. And I'm not talking about money on this one. Praise God. Excel in our offering. First, 1 Peter 2, verse 5 says, that we're a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Because some of the things, what have I got to offer? What can I bring? Will God accept me? But most of that is based upon, I feel unacceptable. Most of that is based upon, well, I've got to prove myself. I've got to do something. But he says, no. What we offer is acceptable, not through us. We may as well deal with it now. We're never going to be quite good enough. We're never going to have got to the point where we look at all points of our life and go, brilliant, 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 brilliant. Excellent. There's always going to be something. It says what we offer, it becomes acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. When you bring your life to God, he's not going, I accept you based upon what you've done. I'm accepting you based upon you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, who is perfect, who's taken all your imperfection upon himself. Everyone's trying to prove themselves. Maybe a massive percentage of people in this room, you're trying to prove yourself to God, to the people in your connect group, to the people around you. You're still trying to prove yourself. And you know, it's like the old, you know, the selfies trying to present the perfect angle, don't they? You take a selfie, you're trying to present the perfect angle. How many of you take selfies and all the photographs are exactly the same angle? Just a different backdrop, right? Oh, sorry, Rosie. But it is because we're trying to find, how can I present myself the best? How can I present myself in such a way that everyone goes, wow, you're looking good? Because there's that one angle, isn't there? We've all got the one angle. If we present that angle, everyone will be like, oh, you're good. And then if we turn, they're like, oh, you're all right. It's what we do, isn't it? That's my angle. It's my best angle. Oh, man. But there are not many angles where you can look at our lives and find that it's perfect. Maybe you're trying to present that one angle of your life. It says, I'm okay in this area. I'm okay. If you just see this angle of my life, if you just get this perspective of me, then it's all right. I don't want you to say, oh, no, don't look that way. No, that's what we do with our lives, you know? But I've found this, that there's not many, I haven't got many angles. I haven't got enough perfect angles to show. So I may as well get over myself. I've gone through all the filters. Do you know?
come for the filters of, hey, just look at this bit of me. You know, I'm going to fill this, look at me like this. If I just filter me through, I'll just be the life and soul of the party when I'm really not the life and soul of the party kind of person. You know, I filter myself. I try and show this thing and it's not quite me. But I love this. And when our lives go through the filter of what Jesus Christ has done for us, it's like God looks at our lives and says, perfect, 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 perfect. Every time. Every time, because you're made acceptable through what Jesus Christ has done for you. Which is why he says, you know, just you bring your offering, what you offer. He says, Romans 12 verse 1 says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, to present who you are, not just an angle, but the whole self as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Take me to church where people don't have to be perfect, but they can present themselves to God, and we can see that he starts to do a work in our lives. I love that. What's happening with people in our house already is they're not being presented and having to present themselves perfect, and I've got all my life sorted out and everything's in order. Now I can join church, now I can be around, now I can feel okay. But people could come and present themselves as they are, with their stuff, with their imperfections, and we see in the presence of God and in the house of God, God goes to work and they're drawn forward and I'm changing, something's happening. That's the kind of church I want to go to. And people will say, take me to that church because I'm fed up of trying to be perfect. I'm fed up of trying to present. Take me to church where God goes to town. My last point was that we excel in mercy, but I'm kind of talking about that already. Once you've not received mercy, now you've received mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Now you've received mercy. Stop living like you've not received mercy. Some of us still, we're living like we've not received mercy because we're still feeling guilty and we're still trying to prove ourselves and all that stuff. Now you've received mercy. What's at the center of heaven? The mercy seat. It's a throne. Another name for the throne of God is a mercy seat. In the Old Testament, when they did the sacrifice, they put the blood, where did the blood go? And the blood went on the mercy seat. The center of heaven is the mercy seat, not the judgment seat. It's the mercy seat. Take me to church where the mercy seat is right in the center of everything that we do. If you've not received God's mercy, you can receive God's mercy right now. Why don't we just close our eyes? Why don't we maybe lift your hands where you are? Don't have to lift them high, but just let's have a moment of worship. Band can come up. We're going to praise God in a few moments. We're going to watch the baptisms in a few moments. Thank you for bearing with us. So while every eye is closed right now, why don't you thank God for his mercy and grace in your life? Why don't you thank him? That his mercy is excellent. It covers everything. That the blood of Jesus Christ was poured out on the literal mercy seat. Heaven. Not some copy in a temple somewhere. But Jesus' blood has been poured out for you, and now you're clean from the inside out. Not just, oh, I've just been forgiven. I've been forgiven, so I better now try and be good. He says, no, it's not like that. I deal with this stuff right down, deep down in the deepest part of you. You're forgiven for everything. You receive mercy for everything. Judgment says you're guilty and makes you pay. Mercy says you're guilty and gives you grace. Gives you grace. He wants to give you grace right now. Why don't you just receive the grace of God over your life? If you need the grace of God, if you need the mercy and the grace, why don't you receive it right now?
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We'd love to hear how God is working in your life through this ministry. If you've got a story to share, email us at mybestlife@hopecitychurch.tv. And why not join us this weekend for one of our weekend services? For details of a service near you, or for more information about Hope City Church, visit us online at hopecitychurch.tv. See you next time.